are back with season 5 of Beyond PR podcast. And when we're launching this season, we're going to do things a little bit differently. Some of you may know that we have a theme for each year that we walk into with Brookline. And for 2024, our theme is celebrate. And what better way to kick off season 5 with our first episode about celebrating a few things for Brookline. And with that, we've got a couple of guests with me today that some of you may know as well. I want to introduce our Group Vice President, Leanna Krug.
Hello.
Our Account Coordinator, Megan Hessel. And one of our Account Directors, Rebecca Hurl.
Hello. Happy to be here.
This is fun because I normally bring in an outside guest to talk about what they do and who they are in the community. But for today, I think we have a lot to celebrate. And that's because why, Leanna?
Well, we have found out that Brookline has received an award by Corporate Vision for the best boutique PR firm in Alberta. So we are super excited, super stoked as a team, and we kind of wanted to get together and talk about some of our best memories, some of what we think Brookline's best qualities are that make us the best agency in Alberta.
So for this episode, we're going to keep it quick and cheerful and fun and exciting and engaging. So Meg, tell me what this award means to you.
I think that this award really speaks to our team overall and the hard work and dedication of our team. I have to say that working at Brookline, I cannot even describe the camaraderie that we have as a team and the ability to really combine all of our efforts and produce really high results for our clients. So that's what I think this award means to me.
And when you think about best boutique PR agency in Alberta, it also speaks to our history, our longevity. So I'm going to go back to Leanna and ask a quick question about a fun memory that you've had with the agency.
Well, for those of you that follow our social, you'll know that I have just celebrated my 10th year with Brookline.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So there are a lot of memories. I honestly think my most favorite, most cherished memory probably comes from our very first event together, Shauna, and that is our Run the Runway event that we had.
Run and Roam the Runway.
So that was the opening of Canada's largest runway at the time.
Yes.
And Brookline was tasked to do a little bit of a two-part event where the first day was a fun run. On the actual runway, and that was with Hal and Joanne.
In Calgary, Alberta, just so you know.
Yes. If any of you are aware of Hal and Joanne, they are fine TV level icons.
Body break.
So we had them out. They kicked off our race, which was amazing. So much fun. Literally after the race finished, we flipped an entire runway into an event area for the next day, which was an amazing fun event for families to come out, celebrate the runway. We have bouncy castles, food trucks, golf carts galore.
Airplanes.
What's that?
Airplanes.
Airplanes, of course. Yes, on the runway. We had golf carts galore that our team ran around in, which there were some malfunctions. We also had radios because of the distance of everybody all over the runway, and there were some interesting words used on the radio from time to time. But that's okay.
We'll talk about those.
For any of you in event planning, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, truly, I think it's one of your first events working at an organization that sort of just sets the tone. That was probably my favorite.
Yeah, I remember coming back to the office and saying, listen, guys, Calgary's going to be opening up a new runway at the airport, and we're tasked with doing a Tuesday event on it. But it happened. We made it happen.
We sure did.
Which is awesome. Rebecca, or as we lovingly call you, Bex, what about you?
I have a few memories.
I bet you do.
I think probably my favorite memory would have been last year when we worked at the World Petroleum Congress. We managed all the media for a huge, huge, I think 5,000 delegate conference. And it was, you know, a long 5 days. We really came together as a team. We had some really good laughs. And I mean, there was really no better way to end the World Petroleum Congress than with me doing some cartwheels and roundoffs down the hallway on video. I think that was, you know, really just brought it home for me. I think that was a really good memory, that whole conference and just the way we finished it up together as a team.
That's forever cemented in my brain. That lovely, like, round, what was it?
Cartwheel
or a round?
cartwheel, then a round off.
Nice. It was elegant.
You know, I think one of the other key things about being best boutique agency is not only what we do outside the office, but what we do inside the office. And I know Meg is on our culture team, so I think we do a great job of doing all fun culture events. And I would love to hear from you a great culture event that you organized for the team or are part of.
Yeah, I love being on the culture team. It is probably one of the best aspects of my job, getting to bring our team together, getting to challenge our team a little bit, and just kind of making sure that we balance the fun with all of the work that we do. My favorite internal is definitely our little guy Ghosty. We have these theme games that our team has enacted, and so, you know, in October we have our little ghost and he wanders around the office ghosting people, and you know, all those quarterly things that we can build in internally. And I also just really love our fun days because it gives us an opportunity to try something new, kind of gets us all out of our comfort zones and just be together.
I love that.
So I have a question. We've talked a little bit about the professional side. We've talked about the culture side. But for you, Shauna, you and I have had a lot of conversations over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
However, I'm curious, because I don't know if we've ever actually sat down and really, really talked about this, but when you first started Brookline, like, what was your vision? What did you want to accomplish? Because I do know from our conversations, you pretty much started as a one-woman shop.
Yes.
We are now grown to a larger staff. We have design services. We have Indigenous relations. We have strategists on our team. We also have our core team that's in the office. What was that vision that you initially had that set this in motion?
It's ironic and interesting that you asked that question, because today we're celebrating the best boutique agency in Alberta. And that was my vision, not necessarily being the best boutique agency in this province, but being one of the best boutique agencies. I came from boutique. I came from like independent agencies prior to building Brookline. And I was like, you know what? We can do this. We can do this really well and probably do it if not better. So that was a vision of mine. So it's kind of like full circle because we're being rewarded about it and being celebrated for it.
Absolutely. And then when just thinking about the culture piece as well, where did you sort of think about what kind of culture you wanted to instill when you had your own agency and what that would look like for your team members?
Yeah, I love that question. When I was working in Boston, I had this phenomenal mentor, and I remember him saying to me, love what you do. And in order to love what you do, you have to love where you work. And so for me to kind of absorb that and understand that, I'm like, you have to really get up and go every day and enjoy what you do. You're not going to love it all the time. But in order to support that, what can we do in the office to make that happen? So the fact that Brookline is 20 years old, like, I'll be honest, 20 years ago, culture wasn't really instilled in a corporate setting.
Yeah.
Right? It was keep your personal at home, get to work, put it away, and then go home. And as the years have gone by, culture's just become so important. Mm-hmm. But when I started the agency, Terry Clark is his name, and I remember him saying, love what you do and make sure you love where you work. So that's really the key piece that made me want to think about that for Brookline.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Now I know. Now we have that. Yeah, I'm going to actually continue on this line of conversation, if that's okay.
I know what she's going to ask.
I'm going to ask Rebecca a question. And I'm also going to ask Megan. So I don't know about you ladies, but when I get asked what I do, even by my parents, like a billion times, like, what is it you do again? I have to kind of re-explain or give a Coles Notes, because the world of PR is interesting and we support with a lot of different things. So obviously we all work with each other every day in our PR field. Bex, for you, how do you describe what we do?
That's a good question, because so many times when I say, oh, I work in PR and communications, people say, oh, so you're like Samantha Jones?
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah.
Some parts.
Yeah. Depends on the day. I sort of, like, it's hard because we do so many different things, and working as a PR or communications professional, it's really evolved over the years from when I started to where we are now, including just everything from media relations and event planning or management and social media coordination and management, just to name a few. It's so hard to, in sort of like one sentence, just explain what we do. So the fun thing about working at Brooklyn, and part of what I love about this job, is that when people ask, I get to say things like, we have so much fun in our job every day. No 2 days are ever the same. No 2 client needs are ever the same. And we're so lucky that we have such an amazing variety and array of clients in different industries to be able to work on, and different sort of client teams on a smaller level to work together. But it might be one day you're writing a press release, the next day you're managing a crisis, and then the day after that you're planning a huge event. It is so different, but that's what makes it so much fun, and that's what makes me love it so much. And when I started here, I told you guys that it was so important to me, just to what you just said, Shauna, is to have a job that you love so much and where it doesn't feel like you're going to work every day. And as a mom, I want my kids to see that I love what I do, and not that it's boring or I dread it or I don't want to do it. I love it so much. And when they say things like, I don't want to go to school, why do you have to go to work? I get to say to them, because I love what I do and I love getting to go to work. And on top of that, having an amazing team to support one another and to really work so collaboratively together is the game changer for me. That's getting to come to the office and see everybody on our team just like fills my cup.
That's awesome.
Can I answer that in a shorter version?
No. Never.
Not allowed. Rebecca's cold.
No, next.
So if someone asks me, what do? I'd say this. I'd say either I help companies get their word out, or I contain it if they're under crises. And they're like, oh, I get that. But my little guys, like Gavin to this day, he's 10, he still doesn't understand what I do. But I'll be like, okay, see this in the newspaper? Mommy helped get that out there into the world. And he'll say, but sometimes mommy talk about things that you don't want to get out into the world. And I said, exactly, and that's called crisis.
Right. My answer was better.
My kids just say to me, oh, you're going to work for Shauna again today.
When Ruby has her pretend cell phones, she says things like, Mom, I have to go to work. Shauna's calling me.
It does happen.
Love it.
What about for you, Mae?
Yeah.
I just tell people I do everything, to be honest.
And she does do everything.
Yeah, and Megan does all of the things.
To be honest, I'm so proud of our capabilities to literally do anything. And since working at Brookline, I feel so empowered every day to always just say yes to any situation. And so, you know, I can list out every facet of PR, and I know that we've touched it in the last week, let alone the last 6 months.
Last like hour.
Yeah, you know, it depends on the day.
Right.
There's a lot of pride with telling people what I do, because we can do it all. And I don't think that I've ever felt unstoppable ever in anything we do. So
I don't talk about that. I don't think anybody's eyes light up like Meg when I say Meg, because I got a crisis.
Oh yeah.
I'm ready. Like, I'm in.
Oh, is the phone ringing? Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. One of the things that we talk about is kind of always going the extra mile for our clients and giving them, you know, the best advice, the best counsel. In terms of that, what would you say, you know, to someone coming into PR and thinking about working in agency? What's your best advice and best counsel for them?
I can start with an answer. So, I mean, I did my internship back in Toronto working at an agency. I've maintained a career in agency because I like agency because of variety. So the one thing that I would sort of suggest to somebody coming in is try it all. Like, really raise your hand. And there's certain areas that are not my favorite, to be honest with you, or that I'm not as knowledgeable on, that I've had to sort of stretch myself and learn about it quite quickly. And honestly, it's been a great learning opportunity for me. So it really, it's about raising your hand, trying out everything. Not being afraid to see something come back that has edits and ask those questions like, well, let's get some feedback going here. But really, the whole point of working at an agency, in my opinion, that keeps it dynamic, that keeps it exciting, is the opportunity to have the luxury, frankly, of working on other clients. And sometimes it's on their best projects, too, that they're having. And they get you to come on and help you out with it. So it's such a great opportunity. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And then really just further to that, sort of to your point of raising your hand, I would have advice of just asking a million questions to everybody and really just trying to soak it all in and really sort of like hear what people are answering to these questions, whether it's, how did you get into this job? Or I have some questions about this client account, or I don't understand this industry, everything, no matter what it is, ask, because you will learn so much. And going into an internship from starting to leaving, if you do it that way, I think you will have so much to take away on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think another big part of that, too, is don't be afraid to over-communicate. Because that's when the team succeeds the most, is when we all know what's going on. And don't be afraid of putting your hand up and asking a question. You know, if you heard something a client said and you feel like a piece of content has missed it, or you're just unsure of a point, and, you know, to make sure that you're actually meeting an objective, over-communicate, update the team, make sure you're on top of your things, have really good list-making skills if you need them, because I know I do, and that's how I get through every day.
Write things down.
Paper and pen still work.
I would also say let people know your passions, because had I not known Meg's passion in terms of racing and automobiles and drifting, who knew that I wouldn't ask you to be on Thrill One when they came in the door? So I think letting people know your passions and what you're really interested in is also very important.
I'm going to flip the switch here again quickly, Shauna. So instead of new people coming into the industry, we're almost going to be celebrating 20 years.
Yes.
With Brookline as the founder. What advice would you give to another small business owner or entrepreneur coming into the market, either in Alberta or Canadian market, to have this level of success that you've had?
I think if you were to ask the question, what advice do you have for someone trying to open the doors of a new business as an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Do your research. To ensure that you know who is out there in terms of competition, how the market is, making sure that you've got an audience for what you want to do and when you want to do it. But ultimately, if you are going to step into the world of entrepreneurship, the light does not turn off. So you need to be so passionate about what you're about to do and what you're about to enter, because it's not always going to be, you know, roses and unicorns and rainbows and all of that.
So it's not a 9-to-5?
Not an entrepreneur. Never.
No, I know.
Never. And so if you're not willing to kind of dive all in, then it's not for you. Mm-hmm. You have to have that passion, and then you have to do your research.
Fair enough. Absolutely agree.
So Brookline's going to be celebrating its 20-year anniversary, so let's celebrate that a little bit.
Gotcha.
But what's sort of next for Brookline, do you think? Maybe not the next 20 years, but just coming up over the next few years, the next 5 years, what's sort of your vision or your goal or what you have planned maybe for you and for Brookline?
That's such a tough question.
And for me.
And for Beth.
I'll jump in on that.
And Leanne, what's happening? I get that question a lot, and certainly it's really interesting, because when you're thinking about celebrating 20 years, there's a lot to be proud of, like all of us to be proud of. And so there's a lot to be excited about and looking forward to. We are like just going gangbusters right now, and growth is happening, success is happening. So in terms of what's next, I think it's really looking at what are we doing in the agency? What's out there for opportunity? We've got a great Indigenous consultant on board. We've got a branding specialist. We've just secured a US PR specialist. It's tapping into those and really seeing where we can go with that. And then as we grow, maybe bringing that inside the agency. Mm-hmm. I think pre-COVID, if you would have asked me that question, I would have said, and we know, Leanna knows this, we were literally going to sign a lease for an Edmonton office. We were looking at a physical office in Toronto. And then I think, thankfully, we did not sign that lease in Edmonton, or we would have been kind of on the hook for that. But then COVID hit, and the complete changing of working happened. So everything is now way more virtually doable. So I think growth is certainly capable. Growth is certainly a massive opportunity, but we don't need to do the physical. We don't have to have a physical presence everywhere to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, let's ask a couple of other questions. So, again, going back to best boutique agency in Alberta, we're here because we have phenomenal clients. So I would love to hear from all of you in terms of what company out there, doesn't have to be a client, could be anyone, do you think is doing a really good job in terms of getting their brand awareness and getting their brand out there? And why?
You know what? Actually, okay, so this occurred to me the other day.
And I know that we've had these conversations in our weekly traffic meetings, which are basically our staff meetings where we update each other on what's going on in the world, what's going on social media, what's going on with our clients, more importantly. But we talked a lot this summer about Barbie and the amazing job that Barbie's team did to secure so many partnerships, so many opportunities, how so many people were jumping on the bandwagon, which was interesting because the Oscars just happened and they were essentially shut out from a lot of the categories that they thought that they would be a shoe-in. So it kind of just made me think, like, despite...
And to an uproar.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it kind of just made me think to all of the amazing work that they've done, sort of generating that awareness, getting the word out there. I mean, for those of you who have seen it or heard about it, unless you live under a rock, it really does, like, it's such a great opportunity to capture how the world is changing and how the world has changed. And then to almost see that the campaign didn't get the acknowledgement that it did at the Oscars, I was a little surprised by that because there was a lot of time and energy that was obviously put in by the branding team
right.
to make sure it was so elevated. And I think they did a great job. Everyone was hopping on the bandwagon. But then at the end of the day, if you're not getting the acknowledgement for the film itself, then what does that mean? And I don't know if I fully digested what that actually entails, but it's just interesting that you can have one level of success in one area, but not in another.
But what's interesting to your point, Leanne, no, what's interesting though is at the Oscars, I don't know if you noticed, but the Dua Lipa song that she wrote for Barbie was the intro and the outro. So then Jimmy Kimmel was posting and writing sort of these memes about, well, did Barbie actually win the Oscars? Because all the music in between awards and at the end and at the beginning was all from the Barbie movie.
Yeah, it's like confusing. And then also like even Margot Robbie, she wore like this beautiful black sequin dress and they're like calling it the revenge dress, right? So it even made its way into the world of fashion, as we see in PR and social media. Like there's a lot of different trends that we're always aware of and following, but anyways, I just thought it was very, very interesting.
But are you saying that the influence of branding and marketing should influence criteria for an award?
No, but it's interesting that with all of the awareness that was done and how the popularity has sort of spiked, despite all that and
yes.
what the efforts were put in, there was still that shutout on
yes.
the Oscar side,
I mean,
right? So, I mean, yes, you can do what you can do if you have the budget, but I mean, if it's going to fall flat somewhere else, and
right.
it's going to, right? So it's just interesting to see that dichotomy sort of happening, right?
I agree.
I mean, you put millions, literally millions upon millions of dollars behind something, but it can also, like, buy you that award. Not that the Oscars are bought, by any means. Sure, they're not.
Well, So, this is, like, a really big, old brand, but Tyson and I have been watching these commercials lately. I don't know if you guys have seen them, but they're, like, the new Rolex commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all of these celebrities and all of these movies from, you know, a million years ago all the way up to today's day and age.
A million years ago.
Yeah, well, from when Rolex started.
Yeah.
All of these celebrities are actors in these huge blockbuster movies wearing Rolexes in these super famous scenes where you can see the watch. But the point of the movie is not, like, sort of brand placement. No one really knows it was a Rolex because it's not like they zoom in on it or anything
right.
like that. But it's just
subtle.
This whole, like, subtle... timeless brand awareness piece for Rolex without them having to really try that hard because no one would really know that person's wearing a Rolex and no one's focusing on the watch in that scene
mm-hmm.
until you start watching these commercials from movies from 60 years ago, 40 years ago, 10 years ago to today.
Yeah, they pull this montage
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
anyways,
yeah.
I just think it's a really, really, and it changes sort of, I think, what people might historically think of Rolex. Like, it's not just this crazy high-end only, you know, X and X can wear it. It's like
yeah.
this timeless, it's kind of for everybody because these actors are portraying characters of all different types of backgrounds.
What I find interesting about brands like Rolex and some of those other brands, what they'll be able to show and broadcast in advertising standards here is very different from other locations. Like you'll see high-end celebrities in commercials for some of these things in like the States. Where in the Canadian market, we don't see a lot of that either, right?
But I wouldn't even say the States. I would say, like, international markets,
Europe.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah,
like in Europe
yeah.
and such. So it's interesting
mm-hmm.
that we're not exposed to that same level.
Yeah.
But
Anyway, I just think they're doing a really interesting sort of shift of their like brand awareness in this sort of campaign for their watches.
Meg, any other?
You know, one that always comes to mind that I think has just been so consistent throughout the years is Apple. Like, because I'm always in the world of advertisements and PR and everything, I find that I can be a little impatient with advertisements, but I find that Apple does such a good job of showcasing their unique brand and the way that they interpret how they produce their products and how they produce it to the world, that all of their commercials and all of their advertisements and all of their brand awareness initiatives, I find are just very consistent. And even if it's a new product or a new kind of tagline or whatever, you can always recognize right away that it's Apple, and it's never out of the realm. They're never expecting anyone to see a different side of them. They're just trying to showcase who they are. And I just like that because it's always one that catches me off guard, because I'm always captivated right away with you know, like a marketing campaign or whatever it is. I'm never like, oh, swipe, scroll, get away from me. I don't want to see it.
You're interested.
I'm always engaged in it. And so I really, really like their strategy that they take.
And we're all sucked into the Apple vortex.
Exactly.
Always. Switching gears. So we've all been in the industry for a little bit, some more than others. Indiana.
Shut up.
But what would you say would be your biggest lesson learned in PR? Looking back, whatever the situation was, or, oh, that was great to realize, or, oh, never do that again, or, oh, great point.
Jeez, there's a lot of them.
I just did a panel with Mount Royal, so I feel very prepared for this question.
Go for it.
My answer, I think, is twofold. One is always say yes. You know, I've gotten a lot of opportunities to try things out, and, I mean, our team here has been, like, here, want to try? And every time I've said yes, I felt so supported. And being able to try new things also has helped me figure out the things I do like and the things that I don't as much like. And just taking any opportunity that I can get is great. And I also think it's really the other piece is consistency. When even if I'm not totally familiar with what I've been doing or the industry that we're working with or whatever it is, being consistent, you know, upholding deadlines and making sure that I'm still putting my best foot forward to the best of my abilities every time has always led to a better experience than, you know, being unsure and then putting together, you know, what might be considered subpar work, but rather, you know, always just being consistent, showing up, putting in the work as best I can and learning from, you know, the mistakes or the edits or taking that feedback. I think those are the two biggest pieces for me.
I would say, for me, it's probably like asking for help, and not for help in terms of like workload, but help like, I need an idea. Can somebody read this press release? Can somebody, I'm struggling with this word choice, and just being able to really lean on your team and ask for help, because that is going to help us create the best product, whatever that is, mm-hmm. or piece of writing or collateral for our clients, by really being able to ask for that help and sort of lean on one another
mm-hmm.
and know that we sort of have each other's backs.
Yeah.
As the resident quote unquote dinosaur of the group.
You said it, I didn't.
I'm going to say is not to be afraid of change. And that does speak to my age, but I did come into this industry many, many moons ago, where frankly, things were just done differently. Like they truly were. There were no laptops. So my work computer was at my desk. Not that I was granted a laptop as my coordinator position. there were no cell phones that, again, I was granted, or Blackberries. So it was like, you work in the office until you get it done. And like, we would literally cut out media clippings from the newspaper. And that's what we would share with our clients.
We photocopied, of course.
Oh, naturally. Fax it over to them. just kidding. Fax on the modem dialing up. And like we would get on the phone and call media and journalists. And as we know from the times that are out today, that pool is shrinking, right? Like our media and journalist friends, it's unfortunate. Like a lot of it's changing. But again, it's just not being afraid of change. Now we have this great world of influencers that we get to work with too. So it's kind of added another area. So again, just don't be afraid of that change. It's going to happen. So learn it and love it.
We're all about being adaptable.
You got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to ask you the same question, Shauna. What would be your biggest lesson?
I think my biggest lesson would be you could have the biggest idea, you could have the best intentions, but if you don't have an execution plan, you don't have much, right? Clients can certainly buy into this grandiose, awesome campaign, but then the rubber's going to hit the road when you actually have a game plan, you have a work back schedule. So I think my answer in a more succinct way is you got to have absolute attention to detail, and you have to have fierce specificity on execution, because nothing will happen unless you have that.
Yeah. One of my first clients at Brookline, Karen Stewart, who we worked with on and off for many, many
years.
Hello, Karen. Karen, I remember she would always say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yes.
And that has stuck in my head since I started working at Brookline. She was one of my first clients. So I think that just probably rounds out your answer and this podcast for today.
Awesome. Any last parting thoughts, ladies, on Best Boutique PR Agency in Alberta?
Just so happy that I get to be a part of it.
Oh,
me too.
Lily? Honestly, it's one of those things that I'm just, from the marketing team that put in the application for the award, when we develop these types of submissions, it's just one of those things that to see it come full circle and that we are recognized for the great work that we do. Certainly, we have those conversations internally all the time, thanking each other through think tanks and emails, but seeing it come from an external source is just, it makes for a very prideful moment, which I'm so grateful to be a part of this team.
Well, thank you, ladies, very much. This is the first episode of season 5, and I wouldn't have it with anybody else. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.